May only the truth be spoken and only the truth be heard. In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, Sanctifier. Amen. The kingdom of God is like a person who worried so much about the afterlife that an angel of God spoke to them in a dream. You are afraid of what may await you in the next life, the angel said. Mortal, as one of God's chosen, you always have choice. And from the moment you come into this world, you make choices that set you on one of two paths: to spend eternity in unity with God who loves you, or to be with others who have chosen to be apart. And now I will show you what awaits on both paths. Suddenly, the angel and our protagonist appeared in the midst of a feast. Around a large banquet table, covered with sumptuous delights, were gathered throngs of people. Yet strangely, none of the people could bend their arms. They could grab the food, but no one could put it in their mouths. And so, despite the feast before their eyes, they were starving and cursing God out of their misery. "This is terrible," the dreamer cried. "Angel, take me out of here and show me the other path." Suddenly, they appeared in a different place, but everything seemed the same. Again, around a large banquet table covered with sumptuous delights were gathered throngs of people. No one was able to bend their arms. They could grab the food, but no one could put it in their mouths. "But angel," the person protested, "is this heaven? It looks exactly like the hell we just left. What's the difference?" "Look closer," the angel said. "In the place we just left, everyone was trying to put food in their own mouths. But here, behold, they are feeding each other." And then the angel said, "Don't you see? In hell, everyone is miserable, and they curse God because they can't feed themselves. But in heaven, everyone is grateful, and they bless God because their deepest desire is not to feed themselves, but to feed each other." And with that, our dreamer awoke and was at peace. That parable is everyone's dream, or it should be, that our deepest desire would be to feed each other. That's heaven. It's what Jesus is trying to tell his disciples. He wants them to bend their wills and stretch their imagination to see their neighbor as a gift instead of a burden. He wants us to envision abundance instead of the scarcity we so frequently ponder. He wants us to see the banquet that could be if we just opened our hearts and gave with a free hand instead of the meager morsels that we cling to and keep close for ourselves. And just as in my musings about the kingdom of God, this dream, this vision of the kingdom is right before our eyes. And the story unfolds in the gospel as we are privy to two very different banquets. It began 2 weeks ago. It was the nightmare that came out of Herod's banquet when John the Baptizer was beheaded. Today, it's the dream of what could be, the banquet that comes out of the feeding of the 5,000. And what is important for us is that both events, the beheading of John the Baptist and the feeding of the 5,000, in each there is the sharing of a banquet, a gathering to celebrate something sacred, which climaxes in a meal being shared. But they are two very different kinds of banquets with completely different outcomes. The occasion for Herod's banquet, his birthday party, a chance to surround himself with as many admirers as possible. Why? To celebrate himself. The occasion for Jesus' banquet, the feeding of the 5,000, it's a wake, where Jesus is trying to get away from everyone and grieve the horrific murder of his cousin John. Herod's banquet, carefully planned and executed, no pun intended. For Jesus and the 5,000, there is no plan. This gathering becomes a banquet. Why? Because Jesus is there, calling people to see abundance where they only see scarcity. Herod's guests, a short list of intimate friends, all of them invited, all of them the movers and shakers of the land. Jesus' guests, thousands of people, most of whom he didn't even know. None of them invited, but all of them welcome just the same. None of them the hand-picked power brokers of Israel's elite, but the marginalized of Judea, the sick, the poor, the outcast, people just looking to be fed, with hope, mostly. They saw the signs that Jesus was doing for the sick, and they thought, maybe I can find healing too. At Herod's party, there was no doubt abundant food and drink, but it diminished as the evening wore on. At Christ's banquet, 5 loaves and 2 fish, transformed by God's abundance through Jesus' compassion, with plenty to spare when the meal was over. 2 banquets. But despite all these contrasts, Herod's banquet, Jesus feeding the multitude, what's the real difference? The host, of course. Just as with the dream with which we began, whenever we talk about the kingdom of God, we're always contrasting it with some lesser reign, the ones that we create. It's the same in the gospel. In fact, in all the readings today. And even though the reading from Samuel has everything to do with David's unhealthy appetites, the real contrast in Kings here is between Herod and Jesus, and about what their reigns represent. Herod feeds his guests to fill their vanity and his own pride. And even though there was plenty to eat and enough salacious entertainment to leave them sated, I bet they still hungered. Whereas Jesus asks his guests to share. Share from the illusion of their scarcity, so that through his grace, he could multiply it by the reality of his abundance. And they were satisfied. And so we are left with the image of 2 banquets before us. One that began with a tyrant's invitation, the other that just happened by the grace of a welcoming Savior. One that only allowed a privileged few, the other that welcomed the unwanted all. One that began with more and ended with less. the other which started with little and ended with more than enough. So here we are. We are on the threshold of arriving at our own banquet. Like all banquets, gathering to celebrate something sacred, which will climax in a meal being shared. Soon we will regather for in-person worship in the church. Like the crowd in today's gospel, we will follow Jesus to a deserted place, seeking healing from a long time of uncertainty and unrest. We will come together and we will share a meal. And at Staying Connected today at 1 p.m., we will unfold our plan. And just as we spent a lot of time making that plan, we'll spend a lot of time over the next month or so talking about it, communicating it. But you know, as important as that is, what's more important than coming back is what we are coming back to. The question that frames the feeding of the 5,000 is the same question that frames this sesquicentennial year that we celebrate. And it's the same question that frames this pandemic as we emerge from it. What kind of banquet do we want to prepare for ourselves and for the world around us? How do we want our faith to find its expression in our community and in our lives? If we approach that question with fear and uncertainty, seeing only scarcity as the disciples did in today's gospel, then we will respond like Andrew. We will say, there's barely enough. We're not even covering our own deficit. We have a mountain of capital needs and ministry challenges. There's only 5 loaves and 2 fish. What difference can that make? But who's saying that that is not enough? Not Jesus. He doesn't scoff and say, is that the best you can do? He accepts what we have to offer, even if it seems insignificant to us. For with God, what we have to offer is always enough. Jesus is saying to the disciples and to us, I want you to feed them. And give what you have. That's all I need. Not the wealth of your resources, though that's important, but your desire to serve. Not your meager food, but your abundant faith. With that, I can do infinitely more than you can ask or imagine. It's like the story with which I began. I guess hell is the place where limitations frustrate our ability to feed ourselves with all that we want. But what is miraculous is when we realize that those same limitations don't stop us from feeding others with all that they need. That's heaven, isn't it? Amen.